Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four big blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
With a unanimous vote, the Phoenix City Council has decided to delay the vote on the arena renovations. The vote has now been set for January 23rd. There will be five public meetings before that to get more feedback from residents.
Oh, that feedback from the residents in Phoenix should be, that's a hot ticket. So, the Phoenix City Council votes to delay the actual vote.
Right.
There's $230 million on the table, supposedly, to go into renovating the Suns Arena. What is it? $150 million will be paid by taxpayers.
$150 million. Robert Sarver, the owner, pays $80 million. Yeah. That's a little. To me, that's a little unbalanced.
It's very unbalanced. So I don't really know what's wrong with this arena. I've been in the arena for concerts, for Suns games. It's fine with me. Just saying, it's not falling apart.
Yeah,
it's an enjoyable basketball experience, I would say.
On the surface, it looks like a pretty darn good place to play a basketball game.
Okay, let me tell you something. When you're Robert Sarver and now you're asking taxpayers to pick up a tab and you can't win a game, you score 9 points? Your team scores 9 points in two games in the first quarter? What I'm trying to say is it is a rotten team. And I like them. I'm a Suns fan. I enjoy going to the games. I don't enjoy watching the garbage I've had to watch for 9 years. But I like the Suns. And they can't play basketball. They're a bad team. And to pile on that, now you're going to say, hey, I know you're a taxpayer. Fork over some of that money to me because I'm a billionaire and I need it. It doesn't come off real well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at it from not just a fan perspective, but a taxpayer perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to invest my? Why should money be invested when you're putting out a bad product?
And you're not improving on the product
because
you've been bad for 9 years and haven't made the playoffs in nine years.
It's time for a change. Sell the team or you put up the money if you want the improvements. Again, God helps those who help themselves. It sounds cliched, but it's true. If Robert Sarver would actually show some improvement, I'm sure people would rally around the team. But he is now listed as one of the worst owners of a sports franchise in the United States. Sell the team.
It doesn't mean that he's a big dope, because he's
not. Well, he's not. He's not.
He's a very smart man. He's made millions and millions and millions of dollars. Who can say that? Not many of us. That guy knows how to make money. He doesn't know how to run a basketball team.
Like many owners in the NFL, MLB, so on and so forth, they like Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is a great oil and gas guy, but my goodness, he does not know how to be a general manager of a football team.
Well,
but Jerry Jones has redefined
the Cowboys
and keeps them at least a little bit competitive and profitable.
Hey,
this team is neither.
If you're a fan of the Cowboys, you like Jerry Jones. You like the building. You like the fact that it's
called Jerry World for a reason.
Experience. He'll go out there and pick up a player and pay them millions and millions of dollars. The Suns are just terrible these days, and they've been terrible for basically a decade. And so the Phoenix City Council is going to delay the vote. What does that mean? I think certainly it meant today, if they were to vote today, it was, nope, you don't get your money. What happens if it, let's go down this road.
If they had the votes?
If they had voted today, it looks to me like the Phoenix City Council would have voted this down.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Now take the next step. What would that mean? Would that mean the Phoenix Suns leave town? Maybe. Because for years we've heard Sarver.
Oh, yeah.
Here and there.
I'll
move.
He's hinted. And
Vegas.
There's a new arena in Vegas, and there's a brand spanking new arena in Seattle that would allow hockey and basketball. That'd be an easy switch, right?
I don't want him to go. I want a new owner, but I don't want the Suns to go.
I want the team to stay here. You go.
Well,
sell the team,
okay,
or take the team, but you don't take the naming rights. You don't take any of the Ring of Honor. You don't take any of that.
Right. But you don't know that's going to happen.
And the NBA then gives you the Phoenix Suns again down the road.
So you want to go without a team for a period of time?
Yeah. If that's what it takes to get rid of this ownership, yes. This is not Jerry Colangelo. There's no way Jerry Colangelo would even get to this point, but that's Robert Sarver in a nutshell. It is time for, you know what? I've been in this marriage long enough. It's time to go our separate ways. You're not giving us what we want. And I'm not being selfish. I'm being realistic. It's been 9 years of you haven't done what you wanted to do, and you haven't demonstrated you have good faith in this community.
But you can't force a guy to sell the team.
You cannot.
He doesn't want to sell. He doesn't want to sell.
You cannot. Then you have to get ready. You have to get ready to, you know, make a decision. Do you want to be held hostage as a city, as a state, to one team and give them countless upon countless millions of dollars for what, for nothing in return, mm-hmm. or start all over, rip the Band-Aid off and start all over?
Even with a bad Suns team, downtown Phoenix is better off with them.
Hotels, I don't know about that.
Hotels, restaurants.
They're not making the money they could.
Well, that's because the arena's half full.
Right.
But if they were competitive.
But
you would hope that a team is not always going to be a half full arena. You hope that they turn it around. Will they turn it around with Sarver? I doubt it. But I don't know if he'll be the owner forever. That's the other thing.
Or do we have to wait another 40 years before he sells or dies? Because that's the other part, too. He could own this team another 30, 40 years.
And you would think that you know, you would learn one or two things and turn it around, but
you could say the same about Jerry Jones, but there are just people who demonstrably will never, their egos will never allow them to be self-aware enough to go, you know what, maybe I ought to just step back and let a guy who knows what they're doing handle this.
And Sarver makes all the decisions. And it's
and
they've been
sometimes
bad.
Very bad.
Most of the time they've been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna talk to Suns president and CEO Jason Rowley at 5:30. What's the deal? Do you think Phoenix City Council has the votes? Would you guys move? Would you take the team out of Phoenix? That's coming up at 5:30. But right now you're listening to the Big Four at 4. We bring you four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at 4. Big Story 2.
A growing number of Americans are ghosting their jobs.
It's a signal of a strong jobs market. Candidates blowing off scheduled job interviews, accepting offers, but not showing up for the first day, and even vanishing from existing positions, all without giving notice.
How about that? So,
now,
the example is you're at a job. Everybody knows you're at the job.
Yeah.
You decide, I'm getting another job, but I'm not letting my current job know 2 weeks in advance.
Right.
I'm not returning calls or answering texts or phones.
We've heard about ghosting when you go out with somebody on the internet, on your phone. We've heard about people ghosting interviews. They just don't show up and tell you. Now we're talking about people who have been at a job for weeks or months or years.
Yeah.
They just don't come in on Monday or Thursday or after lunch on a Wednesday, and you never hear from them again.
And when you try and contact them, they ghost you.
Right.
They will not acknowledge your phone call or your text.
While ghosting was not unusual in lower-paying fields, it's happening in up to 20% of white-collar workers. Workers are also simply not showing up.
Why?
I said it before. I just think I think people nowadays don't like conflict, and they don't want to deal with. And you know, from a guy who's been fired 7 times, I know about conflict. That they don't want to hear something bad, something that they don't want to deal with. I'm sorry, I'm leaving, and deal with the fallout from that.
They don't want a confrontation.
And it's such crap. And it's just, I'll sound like an old man. It's rude. It's just bad form, and it's rude. And let me tell you something, and I'm telling you again, going all dad on you on this, it'll come back. It will come back on you. You get another job now and you ghost somebody. What if that person knows somebody else at your office now? Mm-hmm. They could certainly tell them that. Or down the road, you're going to put them on for some kind of job recommendation.
You burn a bridge.
Thank you. You burned a bridge.
Yeah, I'm here for you. I knew you were trying to get at that. I just wanted to move it along for time constraints.
Thank you.
I don't understand it. You know, there are people who'd rather buy a car online because they don't have to go in and haggle.
True.
Or they don't have to go in face-to-face.
Face-to-face, yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
I worked with a guy that did disappear. He ghosted us. Turned out he moved to another state.
Didn't tell anybody,
but we thought he was dead. We contacted the police.
I bet. If I'm running a company and you ghosted me, you left in the middle of the day, we couldn't get a hold of you, I'm going to find where you are, and I'm going to call the business, the CEO, and I'm going to tell them exactly what you did. That's how I roll.
Yeah, Lloyd.
You can go all,
you listening, Lloyd?
You can go all dad. I'll go all Jersey on you, okay?
Yeah, right.
You're listening to the Big Four at four big blockbuster stories. Let's see, we got two, we got big story three and four to go.
The Big Four at four, big story three.
41 times this year, Phoenix police officers have had to deploy their firearms when engaging with individuals in our public who have been violent towards our officers, and some of them violent towards community members. So a gross characterization of the violence in the city of Phoenix, I don't agree with that statement.
All right, that is Phoenix Police Chief Jerry Williams joining Bruce and Pamela earlier today. And what Williams is saying is she's reacting to what I call a hit job by the New York Times. New York Times thinks they know Arizona, Phoenix real well. They put an article out yesterday. We discussed it. The headline was "How Phoenix Explains a Rise in Police Violence. It's the Civilians' Fault." That's the headline.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a couple of hacks from the New York Times come to the Valley, spend a couple hours speaking to people. They cherry-picked certain things that would make a police department look bad.
Right.
Every police department in the United States has certainly a few situations where things did not go very well. So they decided to just concentrate on the one or two instead of, oh, I don't know. You know, a lot of these 41 police officer-involved shootings— many of the people who the cops were trying to arrest had a gun, had a knife. They wanted to use that gun or knife against a cop. Cop says, okay, listen, this is...
I'm going home or you're going home. Something bad
is going to happen. Yep. If you don't put that gun down, you put the knife down. So Jerry Williams, I would guess, feels that she has to come out and talk about this because her department has been put in a bad light by a newspaper. And it's not just a newspaper, it's the New York Times.
It's a hit job. You've said that. I've said that. Is there a problem here?
Yes.
Let's find out. Let's find out.
Is there a problem here? I said yes. Is there a problem here? I think you've got to do an investigation to find out if it is
correct.
Yes or no. Because 41 is a big number.
It is a high number. You're right. But as Jerry Williams said, that report is not due until February. Do not put light on this as, well, the Phoenix PD are trying to hide something. The report hasn't come out yet.
Right. Let's see. Phoenix Police Law Enforcement Association, the president, Ken Crane, spoke with Bruce and Pamela.
So in a nutshell, we have understaffing. We turned hiring off for 6 years. We got dangerously understaffed. Chief Williams came to town, had to strip 150 detectives out of their jobs and 15 supervisors and put them on the front lines. That's a department in crisis.
Now, we have heard that they are understaffed, and we've heard that for several years. And if that's the case...
Guess what?
What?
They are putting cops in a dangerous position because instead of a partner, maybe they're going at it alone. Maybe they're only responding alone.
Less backup?
Less backup, less people to make sure the community's safe. And maybe criminals and other people are like, well, I can take on one cop, maybe not three, four, whatever, right. But maybe I can take on one. I'm going to try.
You're listening to the Big Four at Four. We bring you four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story Four.
Meet Lily, Sesame Street's newest puppet, without a home, whose purpose is to raise awareness about childhood homelessness.
We don't have our own apartment anymore, and we've been staying in all different kinds of places.
The character was first introduced in a 2011 episode that tackled childhood hunger.
So, we've got a homeless...
Muppet.
Muppet.
Yep. Not a puppet, honey. It's a Muppet. There's a difference.
Really?
Jeez, yeah.
Okay. Is it necessary? You know, Sesame Street has done certain things like this, you know, before. I think they had, well, here's a puppet, a Muppet.
In modern times.
Yes, that has a single parent.
Or a child with autism. They had one that did that. A stepbrother, they've addressed that. I got to tell you, I've watched like 50 or 60 episodes of Sesame Street after not watching since 1970. Literally the year, not the decade. I got to tell you, man, I don't like it. I don't, and I'm not sure why, but it just comes off so heavy-handed and so preachy. And I know they're trying to get awareness. We talked about during the recession how buses had to change their routes, how districts changed the bus routes because so many families were living in hotels, motels. They were homeless. I know there's a problem. I'm not trying to gloss over it, but it is just so sickening sweet and saccharine and just, I'm glad that Sesame Street taught my two-year-old to count, but how many roads are you going to go down here? Is there going to be a puppet or a muppet for every single kind of problem in our society? Just stick to the basics. Teach the kids something. You don't have to make a puppet and make it sound like it's a crusade now.
Well, you can have a puppet with an anxiety disorder that's happening in schools.
That would call the Mac and Gatos puppet.
Oh, please. Operation Defiance Order? Well, that would be the Mac and Gatos puppet.
That too.
No, but what my point is that kids go through a lot and they're labeled certain things.
You're right. But do you need one puppet?
I don't know.
Just bring it up in a skit or a sketch with the puppets they have?
They're saying that a lot of kids have friends and they're homeless. So
right,
now
right,
they're
right.
Going to make it.
But do you need a puppet that their sole existence is that's the puppet who's homeless? That's the Muppet who has blank, 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 blank. I just don't like that.
All right, that's it. The Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big Four at Four delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.